Well, if you are looking for some fascinating reading, check out Leviticus chapter 13. I know. Jennifer's losing her mind over here. Are you for real? Yes, I know it sounds ridiculous. And before COVID, I would have skipped right over it myself. But Leviticus 13 lays out how the Hebrew people dealt with leprosy and other skin diseases a few thousand years ago. And it's fascinating because they had no idea about germs. They didn't know that germs caused infections like leprosy. And yet, they had all these rules about physical distancing and quarantine. I am telling you, 3 years ago, this would have been dry as dust. But reading it now, it's really interesting. This is what I spent yesterday doing. Leviticus 13, mind blown. The priest actually functioned kind of like a doctor, right? And depending on the condition, the person might have to quarantine for 7 days. That sounds familiar, right? And if their disease was really bad, they had to completely isolate. Listen to this from Leviticus 13. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Pretty extreme. There are even places where it talks about staying 6 feet away from people. 4 cubits, which is 6 feet. Boring 3 years ago. Super boring. Absolutely fascinating to read about now. And you probably noticed that it says the person is ritually unclean, right? Now, with Jewish laws of clean and unclean, a lot of them had to do with the barrier of the skin. So touching a person with leprosy, where the barrier of the skin was broken, was pretty bad. In fact, a person with leprosy was one of the worst things you could touch in terms of uncleanliness. And wrapped up in this idea of ritual uncleanliness is also the idea that the disease is a sign of God's disfavor, okay? So people with leprosy were not only separated, they were also looked down on. Now today, we know about germs, right? And we know how diseases spread. We know how droplets travel through the air. We know ways to mitigate the spread of a whole bunch of diseases. Our parents told us from the time we were little, wash your hands, right? We know this stuff. We know that God doesn't go around striking people ill with this, that, or the other thing. We know that because we know that God is love. We've seen that in Jesus. And God has given us the wisdom to develop science and medicine, which help us learn about disease. Now that said, there are still these lingering ideas out there that if people are on the margins, if they're suffering from some particular disease, if they've succumbed to addiction, if they're homeless, some people think that that is somehow a sign of God's disfavor. But I beg to differ. The clearest picture we have of God and how God operates is Jesus. And throughout these weeks between Christmas and Lent, the season of Epiphany that we're in, we see more and more of who Jesus is, and that shows us more and more clearly what God is about. Today, Jesus encounters a man with leprosy. Jesus is going through the towns of Galilee, and this man happens to see him. This man's disease is pretty advanced. It says he's covered with leprosy. So try to imagine this disfigured man, dressed in tattered clothing according to the rules, skirting the edge of the street to avoid people, and he sees Jesus. He stares. He's heard about Jesus. Word is, he's healed a lot of diseases, including some incurable ones. Why not leprosy? But even to approach Jesus to ask for healing is a risk. I mean, the man will be beaten if he doesn't strictly adhere to the rules to keep his distance from people, at least 6 feet. And some people will throw dirt and stones at him if he's twice that distance. He decides to risk it. If Jesus can heal him, it's worth the risk. So he rushes to Jesus, falls at his feet, and says, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Can you see the rest of the people on the street stepping back and gasping at the audacity? I mean, he obviously has leprosy, and he is way too close to Jesus. What is going to happen? Jesus begins to stoop down and reach out his hand. He extends his arm until his fingers and the palm of his hand rest on the leper's head. A murmur goes through the crowd as Jesus touches the unclean man and speaks, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him. A moment before, he was covered with sores and lesions, and now his skin is clear, unblemished. Can you see him looking up into Jesus' face? And the hand that was on his head comes down to touch the cheek of the once leprous face. He's healed. He's made whole. And once he presents himself to the priests, he'll be restored to his family and to his community. He can move back into town. He can work again. He's no longer on the margins. But notice that Jesus was willing to reach out and touch him when he was still on the margins. Jesus spends a lot of time with people on the margins, people considered sinners and less than. Religious leaders throughout the gospel ask Jesus why he's associating with people like this. They don't understand. They don't understand the depth of the love that lives within Jesus. They don't understand his love and compassion. They don't understand why he would put himself on the margins of society by associating with these people. It's all about love. Jesus was born into a poor family, so he was on the margins himself. And he came for all people. He came to show God's love to the people society deemed unlovable. There's a line from a Queen song that talks about this kind of love. "Welcome to my life. I spend a day reading Leviticus 13 because it cracks me up, and I listen to Queen. Welcome." I love all kinds of music, and there's a line in the song "Under Pressure" by Queen and David Bowie. It's right after the bridge where they sing, "Can't we give love one more chance?" And it says, "'Cause love's such an old-fashioned word, and love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night. And love dares you to change our way of caring about ourselves." Jesus was motivated by love. God's love pouring through him, pouring out of him to bring wholeness to people on the margins, people on the edge of society. Who are those people today? In our society, our towns, our schools, our places of business, who are the people on the edge? Who are the people who've been told that God's love probably doesn't extend to them? Who are the people who think God could never love them? Who are the people society doesn't want to see? God's love dares us to look beyond ourselves and to care for the people on the edge, to show them God's love the way Jesus showed God's love to the man with leprosy, to associate with them regardless of what others might think, because we know what God thinks. In Jesus, we see clearly that God is a God of the margins. God made all people in the image of God, including people on the margins. So we engage with them in love and compassion. In them, we encounter Jesus. And if you ever have days when you feel excluded for some reason, when you feel like you're on the outside looking in, know that you are loved. Jesus is with you. With the Spirit's power, we can reach out to those on the edge and let them know that God loves them, that Jesus is with them. And because of God's love poured into us, we care for them. Amen.